You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two on a Football Friday, and your calls at 888-8 ESPN.
I'm calling it. This is the power hour.
This is the power hour.
Whenever you got Teddy, yeah, this is the power hour.
All right, we got the power hour right here in the 2 o'clock hour. We will get to your calls, so hang in there at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But we have to right now bring in a good friend of the show, Teddy Atlas, who joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline, as we got a fight to talk about tomorrow night. That is one that I guess we're not everybody expected we'd have it, but we have it, Teddy. We have the trilogy. We have Fury. We have Wilder just one more time. How you doing, and what do you see happening Saturday night?
Hey, guys. First of all, I see that you might have to write introduction music with Rocky, because sometimes movies really do kind of emulate real life in different ways. And I think it was the Rocky III where Balboa was getting ready. He had been champion for a while. You know, he beat a lot of guys, and he was getting ready to fight a real serious guy in
Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang. Mm-hmm. I believe. That's right. See, you guys watched Rocky. That's good. And Mickey didn't want to fight. He understood what he was in there with, and Mickey told him, you know, he didn't want to fight. He didn't think it was a good fight for him. And, of course, Rocky persisted. He said, what are you talking about? I'm champion of the world. I beat all these guys. This will be no problem. I'll beat this guy. I'm champion of the world. And he said, no, this is different. And he said, what do you mean different? And then finally Mickey was forced to go somewhere. You know, I don't know the exact verbiage, but
so they were all bums.
Well, he said, hey, you ain't been hungry bumps since you won that belt.
Right.
Yes.
They was fed up.
Yes.
They were, and he said, I know
this guy here is right hungry. Here.
That's why I come on with you guys. I got the right crew here. And when he said that, Mickey looked at him, and he looked at Mickey and he said, what are you talking about? He said, you mean I didn't beat these guys? He goes, they were handpicked. This guy's different. He'll knock you into tomorrow.
That's right.
And now back to real life. Mm-hmm. What happened there and what that reflected in real life was suddenly Rocky is thinking, wait a minute, who am I? Was I ever champion of the world? Or was there just a bunch of guys that were set up like bowling pins in an alley to be knocked over, like Mickey's telling me? Was I ever champion of the world? Your identity, the most important thing that we have in life, who we are,
yeah,
what we are, how we feel about ourselves, how we represent ourselves, our identity, that's at stake right now. It really, truly is in real life with Wilder. Because if you look at that list of guys that he beat, other than Ortiz, who was 40 years old.
Yes.
And who other than it? Ortiz, wow, Rocky fought just as good guys as he did. Maybe better in some. You talk about having an easy diet, a liquid diet. Well, this was as close to a liquid diet as you're going to find. And that's what's at stake now. It's called redemption, but it's called fighting for who you are. And you know what? That makes a difference. That makes a difference. When you ask me the question, you say, what is this all about? That's what it's about. It's much more important for Wilder than it is for Fury. Fury already beat demons. He beat good fighters. And I mean, yeah, he beat his own demons. He was thinking about suicide. He had the drug problems. He went through all of that, and he beat all of that, and he's made all this money. He's come back. He's made a believe out of people. He's turned his life into the right place. This is about Wilder. This is about, can he walk down the street after this fight's over, and will people see him, and what will they see him as? And maybe more importantly, and definitely more importantly, when he looks in the mirror,
yes,
who's he going to see? That's what this fight is about, and that's powerful.
And his whole identity, Teddy, has been about he's the champ. He's the most dangerous heavyweight of all time. He has the highest knockout percentage, right? And then now he runs into something that he hits and it hits back, to kind of go back to our whole Rocky theme. And, you know, he's punching up to somebody, right? Now he can't catch him on the end of his punches because it always seems like Tyson Fury is out of range. And he has this rifle, but he can't get the target to stand still because this guy has a great amateur background. People don't realize that, you know, Deontay Wilder picked up boxing late in life. He doesn't have an amateur pedigree, right? That's why when he went against Ortiz with the Cuban background, he couldn't line him up, and he just so happened to catch him with the big punch, but he was losing all those fights. So when you talk about identity, now you see that, and listen, I disagree with him firing Mark Breland because I believe he saved his life that night, because you got a guy 6'9", 270 pounds leaning on you, and you can't defend yourself with a busted eardrum with your equilibrium. All it takes is one shot, and Deontay talks about, you know, nobody has claimed more lives than the sport of boxing in the sports world. You know, he could have been another one. So now he goes to Malik Scott, and Malik Scott has him bobbing and weaving. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, when Mick was telling Rocky that he wants him to use his left arm and he wants him to punch it 500 times hard, right? Because he wants to go back to what he's used to, what he's comfortable, but that's not going to get the job done. So do you believe that he's going to stick to the new who he is, right? We saw Gennady getting up Artur Gotti, try and change to become a boxer late in his career. But at the end of the day, when you get in that fire and you get hit, you're going to revert to who you are. So do you see Wilder being able to be disciplined, slip punches, jab, you know, set up his punches getting in? Or when he gets hit and this big guy is leaning on him, do you see him reverting to who he is? And ultimately, will that be his demise?
You know, before you get to that last part, reverting to who he is when he gets hit, does he ever become anything to revert back to? Does it become something different to revert back? That's the key. If he can change, then I would say, you know what, kudos to them. They got a chance, because something has to change, because his technique stinks, quite frankly. And it always has stunk. But he was one of those guys that I always used to say on ESPN that was gifted with something that you can't teach. Just like in sports, you know, when they get the tall guy in basketball and say, hey, you can't teach height. Well, it's true. Well, you can't teach power. Power, you're either born with it or you're not. It's not made. You might improve it a little bit with timing and with technique, no doubt about it. Where you land it clean, if you land cleaner on a guy, you're going to affect the guy more. There's no doubt about that. You don't need Teddy Atlas to tell you that. But as far as pure, unadulterated power, at that level, you're born with it or you're not. And he's always had that. He's had that eraser to fall back on. He's been a bully. If you really want to get down to it, he's been a bully. And the bully got bullied in his last fight. So can an old dog learn new tricks? That's all the stuff that we're talking about right now. And he's got a new trainer. And I agree with you 100%. One of the things that was terrible was all the excuses he made, from the costume being too heavy to being poisoned by Mark Breland, who's a real good, decent human being. I mean, it was hard. That is not the way it – I often talk about, listen, you got to fight like a champion, but you got to behave like a champion. It's got to be within, just like you guys. It's out on that football field. You have to feel like that warrior. You have to feel like that person. Not just that you can run the you can do the measurables and you can do the times. No, you got to feel like that. That was not what you want to hear in the behavior of a champion. So he's got to deal with all of that. A new trainer with Malik Scott. Malik Scott got knocked out by him.
Right.
I mean, let's go down the whole thing. He got knocked out. Now, I will say this. Malik Scott was a pretty good technical fighter.
Gotcha.
So can he improve? And where he has to improve him, you know what? It's not as deep as some people. It's pretty simplistic. He's got to use his damn jab at the right distance, the right way, where it goes straight and it comes straight back. He's got to have balance. He's got to keep his feet set. When he throws a damn right hand, he can't fall into the third row.
Yeah.
He's got to be able to keep his position when he throws punches. And he's got to move his head once in a while, make the jab of Fury miss, and then be in position where he can counter either with his jab or with his right hand. He's got to have a delivery system for that power, that TNT that he has. And he didn't show that, obviously, in his last fight. It's a big ask. It's a very big ask. But There are variables in life. There are variables in this fight. There are intangibles. You all of a sudden you have the COVID come along, and it canceled the fight. It moved it back.
I think it helped.
Well, how is that affected? People aren't even thinking about that. Yeah. But how is that affected? I thought that at that point, Wilder was in good shape, and he seemed to be in pretty good mental shape at that point. All of a sudden got pushed back. Did they take a break in camp, or did they keep training? If they kept training, they got overtrained. I'll tell you right now.
Yep.
You can leave it in the gym. But on the other side of the coin, with Fury, I'm hearing that he's coming in 20 pounds heavier. I don't know, but he's coming in 20 pounds heavier than he was his last fight.
So 290?
You know what? I don't have to go. I don't. If that's true, wow. I don't have to go talk to Jenny Craig to know that that's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good for him to be 300-pound area. So what does that tell me? That tells me maybe during the COVID, you know, maybe the training didn't go properly. So there's a lot of X factors in this fight. At the end of the day, guys, the easiest pick is Fury. Yeah. He's a better fighter. He's a guy who's shown himself to be mentally tougher. He's a guy that's overcome a lot already in his life. He's behaved more like a champion than Wilder has. Having said all of that, I tell you, I'm going to give Wilder a chance.
You know what, Teddy? You know, I listen to you all the time. I've been following you for years, and you always say it just seems like Fury has more answers to the test, right? You know, he's not a one-dimensional fighter. He can get in there. He can bang with you. But also, you know, people don't give him the credit for being a great defensive fighter, even though he's tall. And I think with Sugar Hill, who learned from, you know, he's from the Crunk Gym, and, you know, we all love Emmanuel Stewart and thought he was one of the best, you know, trainers of all time. But, you know, what he did with Lennox Lewis taught him to fight tall. So if he fights tall, you know, you think about Fury. Fury has the longer reach. He has the more skills. It should be another victory if he stays smart and doesn't get too bold and arrogant and tries to walk this guy down and forgets that he has put him down twice already. But I wanted to kind of transition to where does this fight go next, because I understand and we understand that we thought this was a three-fighter division. And you talk about not behaving like a champion. I never seen such a graceful loser in Anthony Joshua. Now he loses to Usyk.
Too graceful.
Yeah,
you're,
I was like, come on, man.
Right.
Like, what are you talking about, man? You should be pissed off. That's why you keep losing these fights. And maybe it's something to the fact that Fury says that he's a bodybuilder trying to be a boxer. But, you know, you can you see, like, maybe this division being unified? And if it's unified, who in this division can dethrone Tyson Fury? Because there's not too many guys that's walking around 6'6", 6'7", that can be able to make it a tough fight for him, where he can't just fight tall and make you take all the risk.
If he gets past Wilder, and it's still an if. I think it's an if because of the power, the eraser. He's got that great eraser. You know, it's like going, if you believe in whatever religion you believe in, it's like going to confessional. Suddenly you can get rid of a lot of sins when you have that kind of power. And that can't be forgotten. And you don't know where the mindset of Fury is. You really don't. When you look at the weight going up like that and all the turmoil that's been in his life, you're not sure of the mindset.
Just had
of him.
A baby too.
But
too.
Having said that, to your question, if he gets past the power of Wilder, and maybe an improved Wilder, which he'll have to be, otherwise he's getting knocked out again. Mm. But he's improved. I'm going to give Wilder a shot. I really am. But having said that, there's the only guy that really is going to dethrone Fury is Fury. It because there is nobody there. There's nobody there that combines the size. I mean, he's the biggest guy out there. That combines the size and the technique and the physical gifts, the agility, the things you touched on, the ability to be defensive. I mean, this is a guy who, he's got the body of Goliath, but he'll fight with the mind of David. You know, he'll go in there, and you when you watch them, especially the first fight, and when you watch all the fights up until the last fight in the rematch with Wilder, you saw a 250, 60, 70-pound guy that was fighting with the mind of a lightweight. I mean, that's not a real common thing. You don't. When have you seen that? Where he's adept at slipping punches, having good legs, you know, being able to use that jab. And then he showed the other dimension the last time. He goes and walks the guy down. And that, you know what that tells me? That tells me his IQ is really good. because he understood. What do I have in front of me? I got a bully in front of me. I have a bully who's gotten his way all the time. He's always taking everyone's lunch money, and they just give it to him. You know what? I'm not giving him my lunch money. I'm going to freaking back this bully up and see how he behaves. And he found out.
That's what makes it so compelling, even just to watch him. You're right. It's like almost like if you want to put the Rocky story in a bow, it's the opposite of what we were talking about at the beginning. It's Tyson Fury, even with all his success, has never lost that eye of the tiger, if I may, that edge that he continues to have, getting better, evolving, and all the different things he needs to do to stay on top. And it's very interesting to say that if he does come out victorious, it's really it'll be up to him. If he walks away, that's how it ends. But otherwise, he's the only guy.
Well, Teddy, I'll end it with this, right? Adversity doesn't define character, reveals it, right? And you talk about the adversity that Fury went through after beating Klitschko, you know, losing his title on the scales and because he wasn't able to answer the bell and what it took for him to fight back to get his life back. Now, listen, Deontay Wilder's been through a lot. He started boxing because he has a special needs daughter and he had to get money. Can he harness that? Can he find that? Mm. That's why we see the fight, right? When we got two guys with checkered past, with a lot of adversity, who stands up and who refuses to be able to be denied? And then who, like you said, who has the eye of the tiger? And at some point, they have to ask themselves, am I willing to die for what I believe in, what I stand for?
You know what? You guys are smart. You really are. You're smart guys. And not just because you're able to put words together in a good way, but you put the words, you attach them to the subject in the right way. You find the right place. And at the end of the day, for me, this, with everything I said, Wilder has to do what a person who, and he's not nowhere near this guy I'm about to mention, because I can't tell you how much admiration, and I don't have a huge amount of admiration for a million people, but for this man, I do. I have a lot of admiration for what this man is, what he's done in his life, what he's changed in his life, what he's faced in his life, and that's George Foreman. He's got to do it, and he's not nowhere near George Foreman. We know that, but he's got, because George Foreman didn't make excuses. That's the best thing he had going for him. He didn't make excuses about it. But you know what he did? He suffered for 10 years after he got beat in Zaire. He got exposed. Mm-hmm. The bully got exposed. He did. There's no doubt about it. He got broken down by the great one, by Muhammad Ali. And he had to suffer for 10 years for the things I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
That who am I? Who am I? Was I ever champion of the world? Who am I? And finally, he got his moment of redemption. Unfortunately, it was against my guy.
It was on your side, Michael Moore, man.
it was against
him up with the world's slowest right hand.
Right now, probably saying, I can't believe Teddy loves George. I'll say it again in case you didn't hear me clearly. I love George Foreman. I love him for the man he is. I love him for the man he became. And that is where Wilder is. I don't know that he has the capacity to do what George did, but I tell you this much. George had 10 years to deal with that, to exercise those goals. Mm-hmm. 10 years. And for Wilder, he's had 18 months. And we're going to find out whether or not he can exercise those goals. And we're going to find out how important his self-dignity, I can't say it any more plainer, his self-dignity, his pride, How important that is to him. We're going to find out.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so compelling.
Damn it, Teddy. We're going to leave it right there, Teddy.
Yeah, it's
show,
amazing.
Man.
We were both looking at each other saying the same thing. We're looking at the clock, knowing we have to go, and we're like, man, we love talking with him.
There's very few times in a man's life when he can prove what he said he's always been. It's only very few times you can say, I am. You get opportunity to prove it in front of the world, man.
Yeah. We got to leave it right there, though, Teddy.
Damn it, Teddy. I love you.
Great to talk with you, and maybe we'll catch up again on the other side of the fight. Thanks so much.
Take care, guys. You're good people. Take care.
The great Teddy Atlas, again. I mean, a legendary trainer. He knows what he's talking about, obviously. But just painted a picture of that fight now that just really makes you think when you – like that is a must-watch fight. Must-watch fight. That's, when you – just the story – who am I? Who are you? For Wilder, as a fighter, walking out of that – when he leaves the ring, not going in.
Yeah.
When he leaves the ring, where is he mentally? Because we know, again, Tyson Fury's been through a lot. No, Ken, you can see it. ESPN Plus pay-per-view Saturday night.
That's what I love about sports, man. I mean, that's what I love about competition. You can say what you are, but at some point you got to prove it. Not only to other people, but to yourself. And it's a moment in every altercation, every fight, every game, you have to say, what am I willing to put up for? What am I willing to sacrifice?
But, you know, what he said, though, about the whole Rocky Eye of the Tiger thing.
Yeah.
This is, again, why I find it so compelling. There's so many different storylines to this fight that I can't get over, and it includes what Wilder becomes after this if he doesn't win, if he is overwhelmed again.
Because he has no excuses. Where does he go?
And then Tyson Fury's side of things, which is, I mean, who needs the fight more? I would argue Wilder needs the fight more.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's going to win, but if you're, like, rooting interest-wise, story-wise, what's the better story? What's the better story, Bart?
Wilder coming back from
Of course. Right, the revenge tour.
Finally lost, and he ran into something that finally hits back, like Rocky always says.
Yeah.
At one point, you're going to find out there's something that hits back, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing because it's truth serum.
Yeah.
It builds on who you really are, man. I tell you what, man, I can't recall. Like, I was supposed to be the tough guy, right? And it was guys that were bigger than me, that was faster than me, that was also just as tough. And you have to ask yourself, that's why I say the most pure play in football is the ISO. You got a down block, you got an out block. And he's looking at you, you're looking at him, and it's a collision course. And it's a game of chicken. And you have to ask yourself, what am I willing to do to go in this hole and come out a different person? Because I've left a lot of myself inside of some of those holes. And that's why I get the respect from anybody that's ever played against me, because they know what the answer was. It was always yes in that hole. It was always get me to my feet and I'll do it again. They know that. And that's why I don't have to be the 10-time Pro Bowler or the All-Pro. The people that know and the people that had to deal with me know what I'm all about. And they can say whatever he talked, blah mouth, but in between those holes, in between those gaps, oh, I was about that life. And I was always about that life. And I was willing to die for my reputation.
Anybody that has played sports has had that moment of truth. And sometimes we failed, and then sometimes we have answered the bell, and we realize there's a little more inside us than we know. And I guess that's what makes, right, the fighting game so compelling, because
that's why
once that bell rings,
that's why they pay. Ain't nobody tag in, bro.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that. So again, that fight will be compelling, and what's going to be obviously a really fun sports weekend. It's Barton Hama coming to you live from Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Coming up, Bart and Keyshawn seem to be at odds regarding a prominent NFC team. Who is right? Who is wrong? We will decide next. Barton Han, ESPN Radio, and on ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us in the Goodyear Hotline. If you missed Teddy Atlas, we just had him on. What a conversation we had with him, as instead of just getting too technical, breaking down the Wilder Fury 3 fight, the storylines, the things to look for, the meaning behind the fight, meaning as far as would the players come out of this, what are they coming out of it with? There's a lot riding on this fight Saturday night. And if you missed it, of course, you can get it on the podcast. All you got to do is go wherever you get your podcast, put in Bart and Han. You'll find it there, and then subscribe so you miss nothing from here on in. All right, Bart, before we get move on to audio files, let's quickly take another Callstradamus call, and let's do it by going to Sam in Texas. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, fellas, this is Sam. I just want to say love the show. I just got two things for Bart. Bart, this is Samstradamus, actually. I had a vision last night, and it was the fact that the Cowboys are going to come out and stomp on the Giants. And I only want to say that. I only want to say that because Dak Prescott, I think it was last week or a week or two ago, instead to Trayvon Diggs when he won that little Defensive Player of the Week award or whatever. Yeah. He said, just throw it away. Don't even worry about it. I think it's the mindset that these boys have right now that is just fueling. Obviously, the talent's there. And I'm not going to talk about Mike McCarthy. You know, Dallas fan wants to talk about him.
Yeah, notice that. We move on. Yeah. Right?
But listen, even a blind squirrel finds a nut, because I believe that Trayvon Diggs was in a wrong position. He just lucked into a tip ball because he was supposed to be over the top. So what if he doesn't do the right thing and he's like, okay, now I'm searching for interceptions and you're out of position. And the same thing make you laugh, make you cry. And Danny Dimes throws one to Ross.
All right. Thank you, Sam. And Calstradamus will continue again as we go throughout the show. 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776. But Bart Scott, what time is it?
me. Audio files.
A lot of gong use today, and I'm loving it. So is Greg Olson. He loves it too, since he's the one who donated it to the show. We thank you, Greg, of course. But in audio files, we begin. So more on the Cowboys here. They could be the favorites in the NFC overall, Bart Scott. The Cowboys.
Who they lose to?
Well, they lost.
So they're going to make them favorite over the person that they lost to already.
That was a good game and a good finish.
Okay.
The Bucs in game. It was week one. It was a good game.
Okay.
All right.
So I'll tell you what, right? Where did Keyshawn play again?
He did play in Dallas amongst other places.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
Tampa Jets.
So I retract that statement from what Keyshawn is talking about, man. Come on, man. That boy bumped his head. Listen, are they in consideration? Yes. But are we about to say the best? No. Come on, man. Stop playing.
Okay. Well, we move on with audio files. Barton Hahn brought to you by My Commuter Career Training for a Better Life. If you're talking about bumping your head, how about the idea that it has been said that, you know what? Matt Nagy might actually get an extension in Chicago. Yeah.
And Ryan Pace, too?
He suggested it. So, really, by the end of the season, if Justin Fields is trending up, then you want to keep everybody in place. You don't want to change up anything because you want to have stability around the young quarterback. So that could be a benefit to Matt Nagy, and he could find himself getting an extension so he stays there longer. That is the logic behind it.
It really is.
Justin Fields is tied to this guy, and his success will lead to his.
We tried to fire him twice in the offseason.
I personally do not see him as a leader in front of I don't see him as a front man for a franchise, but what is seen behind the scenes, and Sam played for him, is a different person, I'm being told.
Listen, come on, man. We tried to fire this guy twice. We tried to fire the general manager who's done a horrible job, right?
Well, until they moved up in the draft, that changed everything.
Right, and now they moved up in the draft and they got a quarterback. But if they were doing a bad job before they got the quarterback, bringing in Nick Foles, bringing in Andy Dalton, then what makes you think that they won't mess up this young kid as well? Like, why not go out and get the best in the business to surround this kid with the best? The same way when you look at what they did for Justin Herbert, right? Did they want to have Justin Herbert with consistency? Hell, Anthony Lynn was 9-7-9. Like, he won his last four games. Did that save them because Justin Herbert looked great? No.
Right.
Fired them just as quick and sent them to Detroit to be the offensive coordinator. So I don't see this happening. You got to get a new general manager in there. You got to get a new head coach in there, somebody that won't ruin this young kid. Because if they're not playing the playoffs, they got to start selling off pieces too. Like, why hold on to Khalil Mack? Where you going to go with him? Like, he ain't doing it, but getting older. Might as well cash that ticket in and get some good
let's
players.
See what happens here. They play the Raiders. They're 2-2. I mean, it's kind of early to start talking about selling off, isn't it? You give me that look.
I'm just saying, right? And I used to say this before when the Lions had Calvin Johnson, right? And he was like, listen, you're not winning with him. You got to get rid of him. Why did the Raiders get rid of him? Because they weren't winning with him.
Like, Khalil Mack you're talking about, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So if you're not winning with him, man, and you want to start over young, hit the reset button, you got a young core, but you just can't have guys at the top of the market as far as a salary standpoint. You got to get rid of those high-priced guys and cash them in for as much as you can get. They don't even have their first-round draft pick, so they're going to put people around them next year. The Giants got their draft pick. They better go try and get some draft picks back so they can give a way to protect this kid so that he can develop.
Yeah, and that's always the story. Young quarterback, is the right coach there to develop him, and if it's not, move on. And remember, he was brought in to try to make something of Mitchell Trubisky. That didn't work out. Now they're on the next quarterback that he's supposed to try to help, and that is only just part of the story this season in Chicago. All right, that's audio files. Great job as always. All right, so your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. As Calstradamus, you get to do your bold predictions about your week and your team, just like Bartstradamus did earlier in the show. And we might even use the gong if you have a really good prediction. And if you do the voice, even better. But coming up also tonight, Kyrie Irving, officially a DNP as a result of New York City's vaccine mandate. More about that story that you need to know coming up next. Spartan Han, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Welcome back, Bart and Han, ESPN Plus, and Bart Scott. We saw last night something we haven't seen since 1955. Pretty amazing, but true. And this is what we've lost in baseball. We kind of got back, and you can thank the Tampa Bay Rays of all teams and Randy Arozarena. You're seeing it right now. That right there is the great Jackie Robinson. He steals home. Yogi Berra loses it because he thinks he gets him out.
He's trying to fight Jackie, though.
He went after the umpire.
No, but watch this. Watch this, though.
Wait, what do you mean? He's straight up with the umpire the whole time. Now, here's Arozarena last night doing the same thing against the Red Sox. Verde, 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 who's asking for it. Give me the green light. Give me the green light. And he does, and he steals it, and he's the first player in postseason history. How exciting is this play to have a home run in a game and also steal home as well? This is what we're missing. When people talk about baseball, whoa. What's the matter now? What don't you like about this?
This one done in 1995, Willie Mays Hayes.
55. Willie Mays Hayes was a character in a movie.
That was postseason.
That was in a movie. It wasn't based on real life.
Oh, that wasn't real?
No, that wasn't real.
Oh, man, I thought the Indians, Willie Mays, Hayes.
No, it didn't happen that way.
No such person?
No, but still, when we talk about baseball and everybody's like, how do you make baseball better? And why aren't people watching it as much? This is what we want, isn't it? Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong that this is not what we want. I understand we like home runs.
So you want the athletes.
That's fun. But you, yes.
That's an
I
athlete.
I want athletes. I want catches at the wall. I want double plays. I want athleticism. I want speed. I want Vince Coleman. I want Ricky Henderson. Okay. I want to steal home. This is why I watch baseball.
You want Trey Turner? So listen, look in that camera.
Look in your camera.
Get off of me. Get in the one shot.
No,
get
man.
Get in that camera. I want those husky blue eyes. I want people to look into them.
Sleepy husky blue eyes.
Cashman, you hear what he's asking you for. He's saying modernize
Make
the
my
Yankees.
Team athletic.
Modernize the team. You don't want some 6'8 guy lumbering around third base.
I'll take giving the
go sign.
Well, there's that. Yes, there's also, right, there's that. But that's my
Paul
point.
Bunyan
when
turn,
baseball keeps trying to figure
like
out ways to make their game watchable, that's how you do it. Now, I understand.
Can we get a pitch clock, too? Can we get a pitch clock, too?
Well, no. We don't need that. But like I said, if you have action, if you have anticipation, when Ricky Henderson got
time,
the first
time
base,
for some action.
And I don't care how he got there. When he got there, what'd the crowd do? You heard a murmur. Oh, there goes Ricky. Look at Ricky. Oh, look, he's going to go. He's going to go. And the pitcher's sitting there going, what is everybody talking about? Shut up. I want to pitch to. Like, now you're worried. What's he going to do?
Slow delivery.
Is he going to go? And it messes up your head. Your delivery's messed up. Everything changes. It affects the game. So analytics are important.
Don't talk to me. Talk to Cash.
But you have got to understand, like, plays like that, speed on the base paths, action in the game, that's what the people want. And so, we got it last night in the playoffs.
So
more please.
So the moral of the story is, no more protein shakes and buttonless shirts with no undershirts on. He don't want to see that. He see too much of that on the Yankees. He want to see some athleticism.
I don't even care about that part. I don't care. You do need your home run hitters. You do need your power guys. But I just feel like you can't be one-dimensional. That's why the Rays have become so good, because they are not one-dimensional. Because they do things that are, yes, analytics-driven, but also sometimes like that.
Yeah, the Yankees.
No, we can do it. Let's do it. Flex.
The Yankees have the strongest bench press of probably every team in baseball.
That's great. How's it working out for them? 27 championships and the best bench press team. Awesome.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. How about we get Willie Colon to join us in the 2 o'clock hour?
Chili Willie.
Yes, Chili Willie.
Chili Willie. I don't know where he got his Peloton from. But he wasn't clipped in. He had some New Balances on trying to – that's like a lineman, man. Put some clip-ons in your Peloton, man.
Yeah, you need – like, it's harder to ride without the clip.
Yeah, because it messes up your feet, your toes, and if you have to
Well, the whole idea is you're not just pushing down, you're pulling up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, everything is pulling down, man. Chilly Willy, man.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get a sponsorship from Peloton and give him some clip-ins.
Yes. I mean –
he can't afford it.
I mean, maybe they don't make the shoes big enough for his feet.
Or maybe they're not fat enough. I mean, they make them bigger.
Why did you? You don't have to go there.
They make them long enough.
Yeah, you don't have to go there.
What I'm saying, you know, they make like a. He probably wears like Chilly Willy. Probably wears.
Good for him that he's trying to stay fit, and good for him that he's going to join us in a couple of minutes. So stay tuned, certainly for that tonight, Bart Scott. We have some NBA preseason action, and you know, the only real news about it is the fact that it's the first time now Kyrie Irving will not be able to play. For the Nets.
What, DNP?
They are, yeah, he's not available to the team. And again, based on the rules in New York. And it's, you know, I don't know what more is to say about it because it continues to be the story. But Kevin Durant, you know, James Harden, no one will take him to task for it. And they're just saying, they're figuring it out, that they support him and they go forward. And so we're just waiting to see really what comes of this. As now L.A. is part of it, too. All the teams in the Staples Center have to also abide by the same rules. Visitors, not an issue. But those who are living or playing in that town, whether it's San Francisco, L.A., or New York, you have to abide. And Kyrie right now seems to be the only player affected. There's been rumors of trades, of maybe they could trade him. But I don't see, unless Durant says, we got to move forward, they sound like they're supporting him. They sound like that they will put up with it, and it could end up being where he just misses half the season, and they dock him pay of whatever the agreed-upon number is between the union and the league. There is no yet-set agreed dock of pay, but it could be all or it could be a percentage. But it's certainly a story to watch.
Yeah, man.
You know, what do the Nets do at this point? What do they do? Your player is not going to be available. So anyway, that's the deal tonight. It's just the first game that it'll happen, and it's 41 home games and two games against the Knicks because it's at Madison Square Garden. So that'd be 43 out of the 82 games. He's not available and, by the way, can't practice in the facility. That's a lot of time away from your team.
You ain't got to stay in shape, get your timing and rhythm, plays. Yeah. One thing, playing in a lifetime gym or playing in a gym.
I mean, I'm sure he's working out somewhere, but
but with your team, plays, situations.
I say the bigger story is when I get to the playoffs, you can't play in my home games. I mean, I can't even have you for my playoff series either.
You want to try to make sure you got the worst record when you go in so you can start on the road?
So you're always right. You're always that road team. Listen, I will throw this part out there that I really do believe that there is one thing to watch, and that is there's going to be a new mayor because de Blasio has done his two terms, so he's out. So a new mayor could also change things January 1st, which could be in time, of course, for still a majority of the season left to be played if whoever it is that does win the election – does something with the Nets. You know how it is.
Say January, man.
Do you want me to to throw you some support for your candidacy? Well, what can you do for us?
What if he loses?
Well, that's yeah.
Then what?
That is a concern, of course. All right, let's go.
Eggs in that basket?
Yeah, you want to do some Callstradamus calls here, Bart Scott?
Let's do it.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Dylan is in Indiana. What do you got for us, Dylan?
The true Callstradamus has arrived with a prediction for the ages.
He's doing the voice.
The great Justin Fields will take down Derek Carr and make him regress into Derek Cry, and he will cry on the field once again.
Don't I have that voice patented?
That's a pretty good voice, though,
Dylan. When Paul Bearer went over to the other side, he gave it to me.
But he's saying that Derek Carr will cry. Like, he's even doing what you would do. So Derek Cry instead of Derek Carr. You see what he did there?
So is creative. So his eyeliner is going to drip.
Creative. I like it. Let's go to Michael in Virginia. Hi, Michael.
What's up, fella Barton? Hi, what's going on?
How you doing?
How y'all fellas doing? All right, let me try the voice, okay?
Good.
I have two predictions. Uncle Drew will be a new player on the team for the Nets.
They going to sign Uncle Drew?
Uncle Drew.
And then the other one is, the Ravens are going to overcome the rushing yards record for each game with a long run for a touchdown.
Is that your Paul Bearer voice? Because to me, you sound like Eddie Murphy in Golden Child. I won't deny.
Michael, that's a good effort, though. I appreciate it. At least you gave it a try. Let's go to Pablo in Philly real quick, Pablo.
And
Pablo.
Hello, Pablo.
Yeah, real quick. We got like 30 seconds.
Yes, I heard you. Short part.
What up?
And I was Keyshawn was in Tampa Bay. They was playing Detroit. They had the backed up safety. And,
Yeah, he got knocked out and had his butt stuck up in the air like he was. I told him he better tell his buddy.
He got up. Looking cross at it, snot hanging out his
nose. He had blood coming out his nose.
Oh, we're talking about Key?
Yeah, Keyshawn got knocked out on Monday Night Football against Detroit, and he had his butt stuck up in the air and told him to tuck his butt in. It's like Kevin Hart when he had the gym. Like, hold up, close your mouth or somebody. And, I pay my membership like everybody else. Ain't nobody going to be walking around here naked.
Scary moment. Why are we bringing that up?
Because Keyshawn went night-night.
No reason to bring that up. All right, we say goodbye to ESPN+. But coming up next, Willie Colon's going to join us to talk about what we're going to expect out of the Jets this weekend.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.